Where I lived and what I lived for. Each chapter of the book has some kind of transition from the last one, or it has a complementary opposing theme. Here, Thoreau continues the theme of what kind of house he needs. He establishes his experience in considering properties and tells us what he rejects, and not this, so we understand this choice of a house. Think about when we tell stories or describe something new, we often say what we did not choose. By establishing what we reject and why, we answer that question, and we provide a contrast to illuminate the choice. So all Thoreau's digressions serve a purpose in giving us complete reasoning for elements of his excursion in the woods. This takes us into a description of his house, the woods, and the pond, all layered in mythological and poetic imagery. He shifts from the why of the economy chapter and the where of the house into the what he experiences living in the woods by the pond. Here lies some of the narrative's more spiritual declarations. For instance, to be awake is to be alive. I went to the woods because I wished to live deliberately. I wanted to live deep. Simplify. Why should we live with such hurry and waste of life? Fortunately, he mixes in complementary digressions to temper the weight of these. He returns to the theme of economy to support his intention to live awakened, deliberately, and simply. When he says, the nation itself, with all its so-called internal improvements, which, by the way, are all external and superficial, is just such an unwieldy and overgrown establishment, cluttered with furniture and tripped up by its own traps, ruined by luxury and heedless expense, by want of calculation and a worthy aim, as the million households in the land, and the only cure for it, as for them, is in a rigid economy. A stern and more than Spartan simplicity of life and elevation of purpose. It lives too fast. He continues for several paragraphs, expounding on the traps, distractions, and the too fast living of the modern world. Because in order to reject them, we must acknowledge them. Again, and not this, instead, this. We already know his conclusion. When he says, let us spend one day as deliberately as nature and not be thrown off the track. While we can admire and long for this too, or we probably wouldn't all be here now, consider how radical this is. To reject the world, its conventions and accomplishments? Of course, this isn't completely possible, even for Thoreau, the writer who wants to be published and read, and Thoreau, the pencil maker. So, he ends the chapter with a series of paradoxes that altogether feel like a parable. I'll leave you to make that out.